Hello, welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're going to turn the page now and consider Yanawa's testimony. We received a letter not long ago from an atheist named Mohammed that said, in essence, that I was insane because I presented God as being opposed to religion, where he was convinced that God was actually created by religion, as opposed to being wholly separate from and opposed to religion. So over these last few days, we have been considering Yah's testimony written to Gentiles in Yirmiyahu, which means Yahweh lifts up, a book known as Jeremiah, where his teaching on religion is presented. And so God has, over the first 22 verses of the 23rd chapter, has absolutely destroyed any hope that any religious institution enjoys favor with him. He hates them. He asks us to separate ourselves from them. He says he's going to judge them and hold them accountable. He explains why they mislead for personal gain. He teaches us what we should do if we wish to avoid their influence. And so, rather than separating us from God, which is what religious institutions do, God says, I'm approachable. That's the purpose of his covenant. That's the reason that the invitations to meet with him exist. So if you want to know him, he has facilitated and published the way. So if you are estranged from him, you can't blame the errant nature. You can, I should say, blame the errant nature of religious rhetoric. This is what God says next. Am I a God who is the source of close, personal, and intimate relationships? Prophetically ask Yahweh, and not a God of separation, alienation, and disassociation? God is asking us this question. After so many people have chosen to listen to the estranged and evil nature of religious rhetoric, God just says, rather than religion, am I not a God of relationships, of close personal relationships? You know, what of the covenant did you miss? Yahweh was telling us, I'm approachable, I'm personable. I desire a close personal relationship, an intimate association more than anything else. Those who reject the blasphemy of religious leaders and honestly search for him will find him, waiting for them with open arms. If a man tries to conceal himself in his secret places for perpetrating his crimes, then am I not able to see him? Prophetically declares Yahweh. Did I not fill and complete the spiritual and material realms? Authoritatively asks Yahweh. Can you imagine being God, looking down on pathetic humans scurrying around in the Vatican and in Mecca as they plot their revolting religious schemes and not being totally disgusted? Religious and political men think that they are so clever, so powerful, so enlightened, so entitled. And yet they are nothing in comparison to Yahweh, or even to that which God has created. Well, God pays no attention to those who pay no attention to him. He is, by his own admission, fully aware of those who scheme against him. And he's aware of them because it's the only way that he can be just, because he has to hold them accountable for what they have done. To hold them accountable, he has to be a witness against them. He is the just judge. He must base his convictions on evidence and reason. He says, I have heard that which they have and will say. Those prophets who claim to be inspired in my name, they lie concerning their claim. When they say, I have received a divine revelation. so many times when a religious individual writes me. In fact, I received one immediately after beginning this show saying, you know, this is really interesting stuff. I've learned a great deal that your program, the way that you present Yahweh using his own words is incredibly revealing. But I've had his personal revelation, and they go on to speak about their personal revelation. When somebody starts down that path, I just say goodbye. There's nothing I can do. As a matter of fact, there's a letter that we're going to return to from a Christian apologist who labels what we're sharing here as if it was some exclusive domain that has been revealed to me personally and to no one else. The opposite is true. I'm not claiming that I've received a divine revelation from God. I'm sharing his testimony. That's what we're doing. We're telling all who would listen what God had to say. Not presenting my opinion, presenting his statements. Because God is saying that those who claim that they have received a divine revelation, they lie. Foremost among those being indicted here, of course, is Paul, the founder of the Christian religion. He is the wolf in sheep's clothing who claimed to have been an apostle sent by the command of God. And yet consistently he contradicted God with his, "But I, Paul, say." Likewise, Muhammad, the founder of the Islamic religion, was also a liar. Moreover, Yahweh did not say that some of those who have claimed to have received divine revelation were liars, but that those who have made the claim are liars. All of those who claim that they have received some personal revelation from God lie. If you want to be inspired by God, if you want to listen to God, you don't need to get a personal revelation. Read and recite his testimony. Observe what he has had written down for us. And he will speak to you, just as he is speaking to us today. Now, to the best of my knowledge, while I have lots of flaws, I do not bear this stigma. This presentation of Yahweh's testimony, whether it be as part of this show, from the introduction to God, or from Yada Yah, is not based upon a divine revelation or communication that I have personally received from God. If that is what you are looking for, go elsewhere. It is instead based upon the divine revelation God has made available to all of us through his Torah teaching. Simply translating it to the best of my ability and then commenting upon it. And while I have tried to be informative without crossing the line from translating to simply commenting on Yahweh's word, if it sounds as if I am speaking for him through my commentary, that isn't the case. These translations that we are reading, that is God's testimony. My comments on them are only designed to help you understand them, to appreciate them, to see the context and the implications of them, and to help you understand them by connecting the full fabric of Yah's overall testimony. Now, considering the inappropriateness, the arrogance, and the consequence of religious malfeasance, it has to pain Yahweh to ask this question, especially since he has already provided the answer. How long, meanwhile, will this exist in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy vain lies, the prophets with their delusional and deceitful hearts? When God is speaking of prophets, he's speaking of religious leaders, the prophet Muhammad. He is speaking of Paul, who likened himself unto a prophet. He is speaking of those who utter prophecies today. and those who pretend to convey the oracles of God and yet are conveying the oracles of men. And God says, how long, meanwhile, will this exist in the hearts of the prophets, of those religious spokespeople who prophesy, who preach vain lies, the preachers with delusional and deceitful hearts? This is Yirmiyahu 23:26. He has already given us the answer to this question. Religious leaders will continue to deceive until Yahweh personally intervenes to stop them during the last days. He told us that earlier in this particular pronouncement. The simple truth is that God cannot micromanage the world without destroying the viability of free will, and with it, the validity of his covenant relationship. So men continue to corrupt other men. Coming up next is the statement which prompted our perusal of this particular prophetic discussion. It is among the most riveting revelations ever uttered regarding the underlying scheme which makes religious deception possible. Listen to God. Their plan is for my people to overlook, forget, and cease to properly value my personal and proper name by way of the revelations and communications which they recount to mankind, to their fellow countrymen and associates. Just as when in a relationship with the Lord, their fathers overlooked, ignored, and forgot my name. There is no crime that has been perpetrated against humanity as grave as editing Yahweh's name out of his testimony. And yet, rabbis and priests and pastors have done this 7,000 times in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms alone. 7,000 times in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, Yahweh had his prophets write his name, and all 7,000 times, religious leaders replaced his name with Satan's title, the Lord. And as a result, they were able to perpetrate their religious schemes. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Hello, welcome back to Shattering Myths. For those who would like to engage in this discussion, our toll-free number is 877-300-7645. God just unveiled to Gentiles, to people from different races and places, the identity behind, the means behind, the greatest crime that has ever been perpetrated on our fellow man. Speaking to the religious leaders of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, he said, their plan, their ha-hasab, considering everything, their thinking, their decision, their determined calculation for my people is to overlook, forget, and to cease to properly value, to sakah, to ignore, to be unmindful of, to lose sight of the significance of, to no longer respond to my personal name by way of the revelations and communications which they recount to mankind, to their fellow countrymen and associates. Just as when in a relationship with the Lord, ha, Baal, their fathers overlooked, ignored, and forgot my personal and proper name, my Shem. Jesus Christ is at the very heart of this deception. When you say Jesus Christ, what are you not saying? What are you ignoring? What are you failing to be mindful of? What are you forgetting? What are you overlooking? What are you improperly valuing when you say Jesus Christ? Yahweh. That's why his name was Yahusha, which means Yahweh saves. Allah lies at the heart of this deception. God's name changed from Yahweh to Allah. But even more than the corruption of Jesus Christ, even more than the corruption of Allah. At the very heart of this crime was replacing Yahweh's name with the title that God himself gave to the adversary, to Satan, the Lord, Habael. And that is why today, as a result of what God said here, we see, as indicative of what God said here, we see every one of the major religions of humankind speaking of God as if his name was the Lord. It permeates Christian Bibles. It permeates the Jewish Talmud. It permeates the Islamic Quran. It is the name uttered by Christians and Muslims and religious Jews. Well, the Lord is Satan's title because it is Satan who wants to lord over Yahweh, who wants to be worshipped as if he were Yahweh. That's why Allahu Akbar means Allah is greater than whom? Yahweh. And all Satan had to do was to get men to write Yahweh's name out of his testimony, to convince men that his name was Jesus Christ, that his name was Allah, that he wanted to be called the Lord. In other words, give God the very title that God gives to Satan, and all of a sudden Satan is worshipped as God. It is the essence of the most egregious religious myth ever perpetrated on humankind. God speaking to the religious leaders exposes their plan to us in his testimony, in his voice, speaking to us in first person, and yet there isn't a Christian, a Muslim, or a religious Jew on the planet that heeds this advice, this warning, that understands the very scheme that underlies the perpetration of every religion on earth. Their plan is for my people to overlook, forget, to cease to properly value my personal proper name. Let me paraphrase this. God damn Jesus. God hates Jesus. God damn the Lord. God hates the Lord. Their plan is for my people to overlook, to forget about, to cease to properly value my personal and proper name by way of their revelations and communications which they recount to mankind, to their fellow countrymen and associates. Just as when with the Lord, Habael, their fathers overlooked, ignored, and forgot my personal and proper name. This is Yirmiyahu, Yah lifts up, Jeremiah 23:27. There are very few statements as important as this. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Yes, I'm your host, Yada. You can call us at 877-300-7645. It's a toll-free call. God here is revealing that when people call him the Lord, when people refer to him as Allah, when they say that that he responds to the name of Jesus Christ, God is saying here that not only is that untrue, but that this deception lies at the heart of the primary scheme of religious individuals. Worse than that, he is associating this deception with Satan. Throughout Scripture, the title Baal, which means Lord, is associated with HaSatan, which means the adversary. Satan's ambition is to lord over everyone, including Yahweh. He wants to control and to possess the souls of all mankind, and thereby keep them from engaging in the covenant relationship with Yah. He accomplishes his goal by twisting, corrupting, misinterpreting, and counterfeiting Yahweh's testimony, taking what God says out of context and twisting it to serve his agenda. So as you might expect, religious clerics are the adversary's favorite fools. Using them, he controls and inspires every religious institution on earth. Since God has been so unequivocal, please consider this emphatic extrapolation. Had it not been for the clerical ploy of replacing Yahweh's name with HaBaal, the Lord, religions would not exist. The rabbis who conceived rabbinical Judaism recognized this, which is why they first and foremost made it a crime punishable by death to speak or write Yahweh's name. General turned emperor, and then Pope Constantine, the founder of the Roman Catholic Church, recognized this, which is why he saw to it that Yahweh's name was replaced with the Lord in all of the official Bibles in his realm, and then orchestrated the change from the Messiah, the work of Yah, Yahusha, Yahweh saves, to the holy unrelated Lord Jesus Christ. And while Muhammad never knew or ever heard Yahweh's name, had it been used by the rabbis in Yathrib, who sold him twisted Talmud stories, he would never have been able to fool so much as a fool with his choices of the Lord, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman, and Allah in his Quran, names which were anything but Yahweh. This passage proves that Yahweh associates the replacement of his name with the title HaBaal, the Lord, to be a crime committed by those in league with Satan. The human plan to replace his name, Yahweh, with the Lord, has been presented in the context of the most vile and vain things humankind has ever done. This scheme lies at the very heart of religious deception on earth. If you think that Yahweh doesn't care, not only is it irrelevant what you think, you'd be dead wrong. So many Christian advocates claim that God doesn't care what you call him so long as you talk to him. They're wrong. So many Christian advocates say that Jesus Christ is just God's name in English. No, they're wrong. God does care. He has a name, and replacing his name with any other name is a very serious crime. As a matter of fact, in the first instruction that God etched in stone on the first of those two tablets, in his opening statement, God said that you will not even exist with the name of another God in my midst. Hi, Scott. Oh, all right. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing from Larry. I probably got a little wound up on this. This is a passage that really gets my goat because Yah was so clear about saying that he despises this scheme that underlies every religion on earth, whereby the religious replaced his name, Yahweh, with the title Lord. And even when you cite this to those who love to use the title Lord and Jesus Christ or Allah, it doesn't faze them. God's own condemnation of this doesn't faze them. What have you to say about this, Larry?
Well, it changes Yahweh, Yahusha, Yahweh saves as a concept, Messiah as a concept. And in addition to all that, it changes Yahweh's character because I've tried to explain this. Well, I have explained this over 500 times to different Christian groups and so forth on FB. I think I hold the record for being picked out of the most Christian in FB in the shortest amount of time too. And the reason being is that I don't accept that. You can't trash Yahweh's character by calling him Lord anybody. You know?
Right. Or referring to yourself as a Christian.
Right.
I mean, there is no association between Yahweh and Christ. And
there's
so to call yourself a Christian
Yahweh
is to
religion because right. hates them and finds them all to be an abomination.
But just the name, to refer to oneself as a Christian, is to overtly disassociate yourself from Yahweh.
From being Yehudim.
Right.
Which you better be. You better
right.
be associated with the family of Yah. He says so.
Correct.
Right?
Right. If you want a title to apply to yourself, if a title is really important to you, then there is one good one. Yehuda. It means related to Yah, one who relates to Yah. And if you have any other title, you'd be wrong. You're going in the wrong direction. You want a title that bears Yah's name.
Yeah, if I said to you, my name is Larry, and if you call me Joe, or you call me Daniel, or you call me, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge,
right?
I am going to kill you.
You're disrespecting. I'd be disrespecting you.
Well,
to change your name.
But if I said by doing so, if I ever catch you doing so, I will kill you. And then you went out and did it, and then you ran into me, and I had my 12 gauge with me. You'd be in a lot of trouble. Well, you know, it's even worse news for people that decide to change his name in scripts, because Yah says very clearly that he will punish.
Right. And that's worse. That's worse than being killed. That's far worse than being killed, because being killed isn't a punishment.
Yeah. Well, if it was no big deal, I just have to ask, why would he say, "I am going to punish those who have taken my name out of my word, my name out of my own words, and further, I'm going to disinherit those that follow them." Why would he say it?
Yeah. That God included his name, Yahweh, 7,000 times in his testimony because he wants us to know it, because he wants us to use it, but most importantly because he doesn't want us to confuse him with any of mankind's false gods. He doesn't want us to confuse him. He doesn't want us to apply characteristics conceived by humans in their worship of the Lord to him. And it is him that he wants us to know. And you get to know someone by getting to know their name. Now, in the case of Yahweh, it's far more than that because of the letters that comprise the name and the verb upon which the name is based. The four letters that comprise the name, Yod, He, Wah, He, in the original alphabet of Hebrew, were conceived of an arm reaching down and out with an open hand. That tells you what God's plan is. It tells you what he is willing to do. It tells you what he wants to do. Reach out to us to lift us up. That's what the Yod that begins his name conveys. And then it's a Hey, Wah, Hey. It's two people, both standing, neither kneeling, upright, arms outstretched to reach up for Yah's hand, looking up to him, observing what it is that he had to say, paying attention to him, standing, walking, engaged with him, standing on both sides of a wall, which is a tent peg, which was symbolic of increasing the size and the security of a shelter, making the home larger and more secure for those who look up to him, who reach up to him, who stand with him. That's what's in his name. That's what the letters that comprise his name mean. And beyond that, Larry, you know the verb upon which Yahweh is based, because Yahweh told us the verb that is the basis of his name. Right?
Yeah.
It means
existence. He's always
yeah. It's Hayah, which means exists. And if it not only tells us that Yahweh exists and he alone exists as God, it tells us that if we want to continue to exist, there's only one way to do so, to come to know and rely upon the source of existence. That's what it means. What does Jesus Christ mean? Nothing.
I think it means, I know Hesus, I've seen it mean, hey, pig.
Well, yeah, but giving them the benefit of the doubt, it just means nothing. Christo is the was the Greek word for drugged and whitewashed, and Jesus was the name of the savior of the Druid religion, where the horned one is God. But let's give him the benefit of the doubt and just say it means nothing. There is no association, no connection of any kind between Yahweh and Jesus Christ. There is no connection or association of any kind between Yahweh and Allah. There is no connection of any kind or association between Yahweh and the Lord. And so by confusing these things, by corrupting his testimony so that these myths would be perpetrated, the crime which underlies the promotion of religion has been exposed and condemned by God. Don't be fooled by them.
Well, you know,
don't for a moment.
He says, don't let me say who is Yahweh unless I be disinherited, caught in the act, arrested, and incarcerated for removing without permission and carrying away by stealth the personal proper name of my Elohim.
When we return to Shattering Myths, Larry, I'm going to have you repeat that stunning passage. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Hello and welcome back to the final segment of Shattering Myths this morning. Just before we left, I had shared a passage where God was exposing and condemning the religious institutions of our world for their scheme. I'm going to reread that passage, and then Larry has one that he's going to share with us that shows the consequence of doing this. Their plan, he's speaking of religious leaders and religious institutions, their plan is for my people to overlook and to cease to properly value my personal and proper name by way of their revelations and communications which they recount to mankind, to their fellow countrymen. Just as when in a revelation in relationship with the Lord, Baal, their fathers overlooked, ignored, and forgot my name. To this, Larry, you shared a passage at the end of our last segment, a statement from Yahweh that spoke of the consequence of this.
It says, and this is a mashal or word picture, Proverbs 39. Don't let me say who is Yahweh, lest I be disinherited, that's Yarish, caught in the act, arrested, and incarcerated for, and that's Tapas, removing without permission and carrying away by stealth, that's Ganab, the personal and proper name of my Elohim. And that's the plural of El. So
right.
Whether you're replacing Yahusha, or whether you're replacing Yahweh, either way, he says, you know, caught in the act and arrested and incarcerated for removing, and that would mean going to the abyss forever.
Yeah, you're correct. There is a consequence of being deceived, and the consequence is that if you are deceived to think that God's name is either Jesus Christ, it's Allah, it's Hashem, or it is the Lord. If you have been deceived, the end of your life will be the end of your existence. Your soul will simply evaporate to nothing. Right. You'll be disinherited, disassociated with the source of existence, so you'll no longer exist. But if you've been part of the scheme of this plan to cause people to forget his name by replacing it with the Lord, in other words, you work for or associated with any Christian institution who is responsible for promoting this myth, or any religious Jewish institution, or any Islamic institution, all of which are guilty of promoting this scheme, this plan, then it's a different consequence. For those, there is a punishment, and God's going to incarcerate those souls, which means those souls don't cease to exist upon their demise. They continue to exist, but they continue to exist in a prison, eternally separated from God. The abyss is not a place, the pit, this place known as Sheol, is not a place where souls are tortured. There are no fires in this place. God is not there. It's not like Allah torturing all of those who have chosen not to surrender to him. God is not there. Sheol is the punishment for choosing to separate people from God. You will be separated from him for all time. It is equated to a black hole. And so this incarceration it's a place where nothing escapes, but is yet infinite in time.
No hope.
It's a dark and lightless place that is eternally separated from God. And that is what will happen to those who are promoting this scheme, this plan, this myth that causes people to forget the personal and proper name of Yahweh, is they will be incarcerated.
Many times we go to Hosea and we read where, you'll no longer call me Lord, and I'll take the names of all these lords out of your mouth. But he says in that passage, too, at that time I'll be welcomed or greeted as an individual. And so
yes,
people that are out there promoting the concept that Yahweh is about being worshipped. I see people in the movement, okay? They've got the name, and they're out there promoting the idea that Yahweh wants to be worshipped. I show them that every time.
Yeah.
See, now, when you greet an individual, do you do it on your knees? I mean,
No. Unless
you're in prison, I doubt it,
And well, just look at Yah's name. Are the individuals who are reaching up to God, are they on their knees?
No, he's pulling them up.
Right.
We don't need to get on our knees to a being so amazingly brilliant and powerful.
It's the religion is the antithesis of what God teaches, just as the title of the Lord is the antithesis of who Yahweh is. The great call, Larry, and I appreciate the citation of that passage. Nothing could have been more appropriate. Well, I'm Yada. This is the end of our program today. We hope that you'll join us at this time tomorrow and participate in Shattering Myths.